Welcome to 216, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Got an excellent show for you today. Mr. Angry Pants is on the show. Gonna keep the intro short because if you've seen the time code, this is a long one. Me and Mr. Angry Pants could probably have talked for, I don't know, 3 hours, maybe four. Like, we cover a lot of stuff, but it's a long one, and it was super enjoyable to record. And when we were done, you know, we honestly, like, could have just kept going. And so we'll keep this brief. 216 co-op cross keys tournament is chugging along. A lot more asyncs than I thought we would have, but it's not too big of a deal. I've had some excellent help from Sigma and now a Jim jumping on board to help us with the asyncs. But I just wanted to give a huge shout out to ClearMouse. When I created this tournament, I was planning on doing this solo. You know, no restreams makes things a little bit easier. But the fact that I allowed asyncs and we've had so many asyncs, I couldn't have done this tournament without ClearMouse. So huge shout outs to ClearMouse for bringing her bots in and just volunteering her time willingly without even me like asking her. She just did it. And it's been so awesome. So huge shout outs to ClearMouse. If you're having fun in the 216 co-op cross keys tournament, please send your love to ClearMouse, especially if you've run an async, which a lot of you have. There's been a lot of asyncs. So, the tournament feels like it's going well. It's cool just to have people playing co-op cross keys. I think that's the big takeaway for me is it's not getting a lot of exposure because there's no restreams. And about half of the races are being asynced, but people are getting a chance to play it. And that's the most important thing to me is giving people the opportunity to play. And I think that's a good reminder of what tournaments should be about. It's about giving players opportunities to play maybe something that they normally wouldn't. I know a lot of people want to play co-op cross keys, but scheduling is tough and finding a partner and you know, co-op can be just kind of tough in general. So having this avenue available for people to play has been really cool. And I'm really excited to see how much fun people are having and it's going really good. So wrapping up week three here, got a few more weeks after this. Moogle and I are 2-1. So that feels really good, especially with where we started. Our first couple of races had us feeling like, oh man, I hope we can win at least one race. And it just came down to communication, really. Like, you know, we're both pretty decent players, but communication is the key. I think we got it down. So, you know, 2-1, feeling good. Still technically alive for the top four. Not holding my breath for the top four because the competition is just so stiff. Like, there's so many really, really good teams, and it's going to be tough as we keep going. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. If you listen to the spoiler log, you found out that there's no league in 2024. That was sad to hear, but it is being moved to spring. So it's happening early 2025. So that's pretty cool. I remember pushing pretty hard for the league to be in spring and being told no by main tournament admins. So the main tournament used to run two tournaments a year. It was the spring and the fall tournament. So the league blew up in like season two. I want to say around early COVID, I want to say early 2020. Gosh, it's so hard to remember all the dates, but it feels like, so we ran the league in the spring, but then in the fall, I want to say of 2020, the main tournament wasn't prepared to run a tournament. And so we filled that spot. So there was 1 year with two league seasons in the year. And since we ran the fall, the main tournament picked up the spring spot. And so they kind of took that spot from us, which was where we originally were running. And then that just became the rhythm. Spring was the main tournament and fall was the league. And I remember being disappointed that we didn't have the springtime because that just felt optimal for when to run the league. So the fact that they're getting it back to the spring is pretty cool. It's just weird now. We're doing an Uno reverse and there's going to be no league season in 2024. So part of me is sad, but part of me is happy because I think that's where the league belongs. So no league in 2024. Main tournament will be sometime in the fall. I'm sure cross keys will be in the summer. And we got some extra time to fill out in the spring. So I'm sure someone will fill it. All right, let's get to the episode now with Mr. Angry Pants. We met at SGL and kind of hit it off right away. And dude is just an easy person to talk to. I really, really enjoyed my chat with him, so much so that we just kept going. Like, I feel like we don't even get to rando until almost the hour mark, but what you gonna do? We cover a lot of stuff, so enough yammering from me. Let's get to it. Here's Mr. Angry Pants. When we were chatting at SGL, you mentioned that you're originally from the Pacific Northwest, right? Or am I remembering that wrong? Okay.
Yeah, no, I grew up in Idaho. Okay. Actually, specifically North Idaho. Mm-hmm. You're probably one of the few people in the community that would even have heard of it, but only because of colleges. So I grew up in Moscow. The U of I over there and WSU right across the border.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Close to Pullman, Spokane area.
Yeah. So it's Moscow's like 7 miles from Pullman. It's like the edge of town's right on the Washington border. And then I don't know. That's like it's like 80 miles from Spokane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I've been to Pullman once for an Apple Cup.
Yeah,
that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that always brings a lot of people to the area.
Right. Because there's no other reason to go to Pullman. I mean, it's a college town. There's no real reason to go there.
Well, there's the Lentil Festival.
What's the Lentil Festival? I don't know. I'm familiar with that. What's that?
The Lentil Festival. That area is called the Palouse. And so like Idaho's known for potatoes, but actually up in North Idaho where I lived, lentils and wheat are the big crop. And so in Pullman, every year they have a big lentil festival in town.
Is there a lot you can do with lentils other than like soup or something? I don't know. A strange thing to have a festival around, like peaches or apples or something. I guess that lentils is just so odd to me.
Right. I mean, when it's the cash crop, it's the cash crop.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That makes sense.
I think it's just an excuse to have a party. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there's nothing else to do up there.
Yeah, like Washington State needs another excuse. Washington University needs another excuse to party.
Totally. So you grew up your entire life in that area?
No. So I lived in Moscow for until my mid-20s when I decided I'm tired of working in gas stations. I need to do something. So. That's when I moved down to Boise. Because I went to school down there.
Boise is nice from what I heard. I've got family there.
Yeah, I really like it. I don't live there anymore, but I did live there for 15 years or something like that.
Oh wow.
I was living in Boise from my mid-20s until right around 40. And then now I'm in Virginia. I live out in Virginia now because I got a job out here. So
how do you go from Idaho to Virginia? That seems like a pretty big trek as far as
it's just the job I got. I was offered a job out here. Of course, I was offered the job during the pandemic. And so they're like, oh, it's maximum telework. So you're not coming into the office, but you do have to live within 100 miles of the office.
So you moved during the pandemic before it, or was it during?
It was during, I moved here in December of 2021.
Wow. Okay.
Don't recommend because it's really hard to meet people. It is how I got into racing, A Link to the Past.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know anyone places like, I, well, it, the big part, the big thing with it too, is I didn't want to like, so I had left, my partner, I was still with my partner at the time. And she had stayed in back in Boise. But I just started a new job. And so I didn't have like any sick leave or anything like that built up. And so I'm like, I don't want to go out and get COVID. I was trying to find things to do, in the house. I think it was a few months after I got there, the mentor tournament was announced. And that's what got me. I'm like, well, I need something to do with my time. Cause I'm feeling pretty miserable. So,
right.
So I had been around, watching the races, either watching Rando, before that. But that was when I decided, and I did, raced casually, but that was when I decided to get into the competitive side of it.
I see. We'll get to the Link to the Past stuff. Yeah. When you made the move, I mean, you've been a West Coast person your entire life, it sounds like, because you just moved within the last couple of years over to Virginia.
I still consider myself a West Coast person.
All right. What's the biggest difference between the West Coast and the East Coast for you?
I've mentioned this in the Discord before, but and it's when football games start is like mm-hmm. it's one of my biggest gripes.
Yeah.
On Sundays, NFL doesn't start until like 1:30.
Yeah.
And I'm used to like, you know, at 1:30, you're like halfway through the second game.
Yeah, totally.
or the night games start at like 8:30, so they're so not late. Done. I go to bed like even the game last night, I went to bed at in the third quarter because I'm like it's getting too late. I got to work in the morning. And that one started at 7:30. I'm just like these, you know, like
different. It is totally different. Yeah,
it really is. It was the way it was before. I mean, in Boise's in the mountain time zone, so it's slightly different. But the way I always had my Sundays before is I would get up, watch football, and then proceed with my day. Whereas now I have to get up, do all my stuff, and then I watch football, and I'm like, all right, well, the day's over now.
Yep, it is completely different. It's so weird because, like, especially with there's being a lot more games in the EU time zone, right? They're starting to branch out. Those games start on the West Coast at like 6:30 in the morning, which is like so early. But
I mean, over here it's like 9, and it's not bad. But so I don't hide this on the Discord, but I'm a Packer fan, and so like Packers basically never have to play over there.
Yeah, that's true.
I think now the NFL is requiring teams to play like once every 5 years, but.
Right.
But no home team was willing to give up a Packer game because they knew Packer fans would travel and buy tickets for it. They're like, even if we're not like the Steelers or the Seahawks or stuff like that, we're going to guarantee a sellout because the Packers are coming to town.
Yeah, totally. So how do you become a Packers fan in Idaho? Because Idaho doesn't have a football team, obviously, doesn't have a baseball team. Doesn't have a basketball team. So are you kind of in this, like, you're in that kind of area where you could kind of go west and, you know, root for Seattle or Portland?
Yeah.
Or you could go Denver if you go a little east. And
yeah, so it's all because of my mom. She was born and raised in Green Bay.
I see.
And then she left after college. Those early memories, I understand how blessed I am as a Packer fan, being the age I am, because
Favre into Rodgers into Love,
I don't have a whole lot of memories of Don Majkowski, the Magic Man. I did watch a couple games with him in it, but realistically, like, I started watching football around 93 when Favre starting with the Packers. So. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we go from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another. Of course, they're both douches. Like,
totally.
You know, I don't know what it is with the water in Green Bay that makes quarterbacks like great but douches.
It's weird. You become great, but then your greatness seeps into your brain somehow, and they just become like they believe their own shit so much that it just becomes nauseating. It's like I used to root for Aaron Rodgers, like. He was kind of, you know, like his story coming out of college when he got drafted and he fell, right? Everyone thought he was going to the Niners, mm-hmm. and then he fell and fell and fell, got drafted by the Packers. And so it's like, then he, you know, had to back up Favre and just kind of rooting for him along the way. And he played really well. But then, you know, something just happens. And then, of course, everything that's happened with Favre in the last few years, too, as well. It's just
right.
Like, it's insane.
I try to root for a team and not players, right. Like,
totally,
because like, very few of them are going to turn out to be like
good
the good people.
as a football fan, I mean, you think about all the different teams and how many different quarterbacks most teams have had to go through. Like, even Seattle's been pretty lucky with Russ in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And Matt Hasselbeck and to Russ, and the, you know, we didn't have a lot there, but like you look at like Cleveland and Texas and everywhere, they have like 100 so quarterbacks.
The Raiders.
It's just so many teams. It's so hard to find a good quarterback. And then you, you know, as a Green Bay fan, you have two, and now Love seems to be legit too. So
yeah, I'm holding my optimism, but I'm going to be a little tentative because he had that, he had a game a couple of weeks ago where the weather was really bad. I think it was really windy and he played like trash. And it's if you don't have the arm strength to cut through wind like that, like that's like you could be, I mean, especially when you're playing in Green Bay, if you had a dome at your home stadium, it might be a different story where you can get away with it a little more.
Right. But, Green Bay has to deal with weather, outdoor weather. Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Interesting. So because I grew up in up in Idaho, I actually met Matt Hasselbeck because me and a friend of mine, we went to a Seahawks spring training back in like, 2001 or something like that.
When it was in Eastern Washington?
Was that Cheney? Yeah,
I've been there. I might have been there.
It's possible. Yeah, it was. So it was Matt Hasselbeck's first year. He had just been traded from the Packers to the Seahawks, and it was his buddy I went to high school with. We were 19 or something like that. We were just out of high school. We'd gotten jobs working at the same place. So we're like, hey, we're both off. It's the weekend. Let's take the drive. It's only like a hour and a half drive or something like that from Moscow. And so we went, and that was I'm trying to think who else was on that team. You had Hasselbeck, you had John Randall, I think.
Yeah.
He was signed as a free agent from the Vikings or something like that. Yep. He was there.
I remember meeting Corin Robinson. He was a big draft pick. I don't know if that was the first year that Matt Hasselbeck was there, but that's one of the years that I was there. Sean Alexander was there a couple years later. You know, Walter Jones and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of good players. And you talk about a place that has nothing to do. You talk about Cheney. Like Cheney has it makes Pullman look like Seattle. Like it was crazy how little there was to do there.
Yeah, like because we were so close, me and my friend, we went for their to watch their practice and everything. And then left. And we're just gone. We didn't even stick around town. We're just like, we're going back to Moscow.
There's literally nothing. I remember there was a movie theater and it was like a size of a living room. It was so tiny. And he had like one movie. It was nuts. Mm-hmm. It was like the only thing to do. There was a bunch of players there because there was literally you like drink and go to the Ewe, drink and eat. That's kind of all you did there.
Right. Yeah, well, they probably picked places like that on purpose so the players can't get too crazy.
Yeah.
Like, don't want to have your spring training in fucking Las Vegas.
Right. Totally. So I think the Cowboys go to California, but usually the idea is to like get away. But yeah, that was something. So growing up in Moscow, what was it like as a kid, as far as like video games go?
I listened to Maddie's episode, yesterday, and I thought it was kind of funny where he was telling, you know, he had told how his parents didn't really let him go outside. Total opposite for me. Like me and my brother were like latchkey kids where we, you know, my parents had divorced. And so we were living with my mom and she had to work. And so for a really young age, we were just kind of like on our own, taking care of ourselves, and we would go out and do stuff. And but when I was really young, I actually grew up. I spent a couple of years outside of Moscow, a few miles outside of Moscow, and it was this old schoolhouse. For people that only ever lived in cities. Back in the day, you would have these schoolhouses out in the middle of farmland where the farmers would take their kids. And it was just like it would just be an all ages thing. Because Idaho's not that old, they still have those. And we lived in one. It was just this big house. And we had like we had no video games or anything like that. So that was us. We would just go out and play in the fields and stuff like that. And my mom still contends that she thinks that that schoolhouse was haunted. she has told me stories how she would be home alone. Like we would be off at a friend's house or something. Like me and my brother would be off at a friend's house, and she would still hear sounds of kids laughing. So wow.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so we got into we did end up moving into Moscow though by the time I started grade school.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think the year it had. I don't remember the exact year. But we did not get a video. We lived full time at my mom's house. We did not get a video game system there, I want to say, until Christmas of 1991.
Oh, okay. So this is a while after the Nintendo would come out. I think it was like 85 ish.
Yeah. Now, a few years before that, my dad did get a Sega Master System.
Okay.
And so that he kept that at his house, and we would get to play it well over there. So I do have a good soft spot for the Sega systems in my heart, because that got me into the Phantasy Star game or series. Okay. And also there's this one that I've actually thought about trying to get the cart for it again, called Zillion, which I'm sure it doesn't hold up.
Sure.
but it was, I don't know, it was just like side scroller kind of puzzle game. I would kind of describe it as a really early Metroidvania style game, actually. Well, before Metroidvania was a thing.
Sure.
It was a sci-fi setting. You had laser guns, you would go to these different rooms and shoot guys and have to get get the passwords to unlock the different doors to go deeper into it. I don't know. It's one of those games I have memories of that.
Sure.
Now that I have the Mega SG. I can play. I can play it on emulator, I suppose. But but now that I have the Mega SG, I can play the Master System games on that.
It feels like those games are only known to the few people that actually had the system, right? Because the Sega. If you ask a majority of people what was the first Sega system, they'd probably say the Genesis, right? Like,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
It wasn't, but it feels like that was like the coming out party. So if you knew anyone that had a Master System, it seemed like it would be pretty rare. Like, I didn't know, I wasn't playing any of the Master System or knew any of it, or even knew about it, really. It was weird.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I had never heard of it, and none of my other friends had one. So it was just like, it was this thing that me and my brother would play over at my dad's. I know we had a Rambo game, which was just kind of like a top down shooter, like Akari Warriors style.
Right.
Game. I don't we had a couple of other games for it, but we never had too many. And because we weren't at my dad's a whole lot, we just didn't play it as much. And then in 91, the reason I'm almost positive it was Christmas of 91 is that was the year we got a Sega Genesis, and it came packed in with the first Sonic the Hedgehog, and I think that was that year that they did that. But we also got the same year, we also got an NES from an aunt and uncle. Mm-hmm. So we went from having essentially no video games. I was 10 years old at the time in 91. We went from having no video games to having two consoles, with one of them being the new hotness, which is the Genesis.
Right.
And we played the Nintendo a bit, but let's face it. I mean, Genesis does, or say, what is it? Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Right. Totally. Especially when you're comparing the NES to the Genesis, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the Super Nintendo had just come out around that time. So when you're comparing those two, the Genesis was just, it was the game. Totally. It was the system.
Totally, especially as you just got the NES. So do you remember the games that you're playing on the NES and the Genesis when you first got them?
One game I remember for the NES that we got, I'm pretty sure we got it as a present that same year. It was Street Fighter 2010.
Okay, yeah, which, I remember that. Yeah,
which is not. Not like you think it is.
Yep.
You know, yep. It's kind of like a beat 'em up style game. Mm-hmm. Not a fighting game.
Right.
And that one, you know, we played that one. It came packed in with Super Mario and Duck Hunt. But then I'm trying to think for the Genesis, we had Sonic because it came packed with that.
Yep.
And I'm blanking on any other games. We also got Columns, which was okay. Oh, yeah. But my mom bought that for herself,
right?
Because she loved that game.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, yeah. And she actually they actually had a the bar that she would frequent. They actually had an arcade version of it there. And she kept getting the high scores on it because she was practicing it on our console.
That's super awesome.
But as far as video games that that was like the only game that she ever played, and was better than me and my brother.
Yeah, that's hilarious. So you didn't have a system for a long time other than the infrequent times you got to play the Master System at your dad's. Did your friends have video games? Were you over at your friends playing video games, or was it mostly you're just doing outdoor stuff?
So we would, it would be a mix. Like, so we did have friends that had numerous consoles. In fact, one of my earliest video gaming memories some of my friends, they had an older half brother. He was like 10 or 15 years older. So he was already an adult going to college in Moscow. And we were hanging out with those friends, and they went to go see their brother. And I have this very vivid memory of I want to say it was their brother's roommate was playing the original Final Fantasy.
Mm.
And they were farming ogres to level up, or grinding levels, killing ogres around the elf city, the elf castle. And I don't know why that memory has stuck with me.
Sure.
I've played Final Fantasy numerous times. I've never actually gotten around to beating the original one. Maybe I should at some point. But it was also those friends would, you know, had their own NES, had their own Super Nintendo, and so I got to play a lot of Super Nintendo games through them. So
I see,
you know, Super Mario World, Final Fantasy II, F-Zero, my first time playing A Link to the Past was on their console. They had gotten every, you know, all the heart pieces, mm-hmm. and all the equipment, and had the save at the end of the game where you could run around and just, you know, not really do anything, but you could just run around.
Explore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Link to the Past was a game that I got when we did finally get a Super Nintendo a few years later. I don't remember exactly the year we got it, though. It was several years after we had gotten the Genesis. So
did you consider yourself like a Sega man? Because it felt like, as kids, I mean, we're the same age. Mm-hmm. It felt like there was a line drawn. It was Bloods and Crips. It was SNES and in Genesis, you couldn't be one. You couldn't be both, which is so silly. But
I mean, until I got both, absolutely. Like I would die on the Genesis hill. I'd be there with Sonic and the in the Phantasy Star games. But some of my favorite games to play that when I was a kid and even still now are the role playing games. So like I really enjoyed I know you've talked about it, Final Fantasy 2/4.
Yeah.
Is one of my favorites. Six is my favorite, and I still remember getting that one on the Super Nintendo for Christmas one year, and I loved that game. I grinded all the stuff in that game. I lost that cart. I might have sold it at one point. But I had a saved file where I had gotten two characters. I'd grinded them up to level 99 and had another two at 95. Yeah, I just loved playing that game.
Yeah.
Let's see if I remember who they were. It was Terra, Sabin, Locke, and Shadow, I think, were the four of them.
All right. Have you gone back? Is it something you play pretty regularly, or is it just memories at this point?
No, I do go back. I actually do go back and play a lot of games. I don't want to say more so than new games, but I don't know. I really like going back to just start them up again after a few years. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like I would do that with A Link to the Past, maybe like once every you know 4 or 5 years or so. I would just delete my whatever saves I had on there and just start fresh and play through it again. I've done it a couple of times with Final Fantasy VI, but because I played it so much and did that big grind originally, I haven't gone back. I've gone back to it a couple times, but not as much as others. Sure. Like Final Fantasy IV, I've gone through a couple of times. Surprisingly enough, the Phantasy Star series, I don't really go back to those, which I still really like them. But yeah, I've never really gone back and played through those all the way through. Mm-hmm. We haven't even talked about me getting into computer gaming yet.
Yeah. I mean, we're just a kid still. Right.
but we did get a computer, in the mid 90s, and started playing some games on that, the Ultima games, are ones that I played a bunch and would go back and play not all the Ultima games, specifically the Ultima 7 games I love those games. I actually ended up watching just recently some retrospectives on them, and I have this itch to fire up Ultima 7 again and play through it.
I'm not familiar with Ultima like at all. Is it what's it like?
There are so many games that they're all so very different. I would say Ultima 1 and 2 are really similar. I'm trying to figure out how to describe them. It's nothing like you would see even going back to the mid 90s. Honestly, it was very, very, very rudimentary. But it still did have graphics. And I actually didn't really play much of those. I didn't get into Ultima. My first experience with it was Ultima 3 on the NES, which wasn't nearly, it was a really gutted version compared to what I learned this later on, a really gutted version compared to what they had on the computer. So most of my Ultima playing was in 6, which is a bit of a top down view where you just, you have your party and you go around and you know, it's turn-based combat. Right.
It looks like, because I'm looking at Seven, Ultima Seven, and it looks like Baldur's Gate 3, just in like the 90s. You know what I mean? Like,
it has that same look, and it is not nearly as tactical of a game. Usually you just hit the C button and to turn combat on, and all your guys just like AI takes over and just attacks everything.
I have a real nostalgic feel though for this like look and graphics. Mm-hmm. It just reminds me so much of my childhood, you know. These like just rudimentary, I don't know what, mm-hmm. I don't even describe it, but they're just, I don't know, there's something very cool about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Games like that, the graphics don't really, like, it's one of those where they're good enough.
At the time, they were excellent, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you could look at it through that lens, it really highlights like the stuff that they were doing. I mean, it's pretty state of the art stuff. Then now it's obviously trash, but
well, and like for me, like the graphics in Ultima 7 or in Fallout 1 and 2, which are also two of my most favorite games of all time, like they didn't do anything crazy. They didn't try to do anything too over the top or anything like that, and so it didn't, I don't feel like they've aged poorly. They just look like old games, whereas Final Fantasy VII just looks bad, right. Like it just looks bad.
I think you could say that for like almost all the early 3D games, like if you look at any of the N64 stuff, it's like it just doesn't, mm-hmm. it worked then, but it just does not hold up now. Whereas the 2D or like the stuff that has a more pixelated look mm-hmm. to it just feels more stylistically interesting still.
Yeah. But then you can go to like even a Final Fantasy 8 or 9. Like those look fine. I don't have any interest in playing them. I don't know what it is about the Final Fantasies, but I actually played through 4, 6, 7. I tried playing 8 and hated it. Tried playing 9 and hating it. I'm sorry, Lumaga. I did play 10 and beat it, and then I just like kind of stopped playing them after that. I think I picked up 11 for a little bit, but it did not hold my interest. Or it might have been 12. I don't remember. I'm a little foggy when it gets to the point of for the Final Fantasy games there. I totally meandered all over the question of replaying games. But yes, I actually highly enjoy replaying old games. And I would even before I started doing Rando a bunch. I would argue I probably would replay older games more than I would play newer ones. I started getting kind of picky with what new games I was really wanting to play.
That makes sense.
And usually when it's a brand new game, like I know you've talked a lot about Baldur's Gate 3. So that late 90s and early 2000s era of like role playing games where you had the Fallout and the Baldur's Gate series going on. Mm-hmm. Loved those. I've played through Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 multiple times each because I love those games, but I still have yet to buy Baldur's Gate 3.
Sure. I understand. It's daunting. It's Mm-hmm. It's hard to like go into it and just spend like a few minutes here and there, 20 minutes here. It's like it's going to suck you in.
Yeah.
And you got to be prepared for that.
And not only is it like I have that experience with 1 and 2 where I just like John Irenicus is one of my favorite villains of all time. He's the villain of Baldur's Gate 2.
Okay.
And so like I know I love those games. I just have a love for Dungeons and Dragons because I've been playing it since I was in grade school. So I know like, and then I hear like you talking about how much you love the game. Like you're like, you know, where you're like, I've never played Dungeons and Dragons and this is the best game I've ever played. I'm like, well, I need to wait until I'm in a spot where I have like the time.
You do. I mean, as a fan of the game, it will suck you in if you like those sort of games. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you did when since you were playing the originals. I do want to play 1 and 2, but I'm also a little hesitant going backwards. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like because I don't have the nostalgia of playing 1 and 2, I don't know if they'll hold up as well, but I've heard and read about how great they are. So I think eventually I'll get into them.
Yeah. I wish I could say like, you know, they're the best, but I also know I'm looking at them through nostalgic glasses.
Right. Like, I wonder if I can still enjoy them despite their age. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think I can get past that, but you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Like I would say you won't know until you try. So I would give it a try. Like the worst case, you're not going to like it and you just don't play it.
Right. Totally.
Like, or you stop after like 3 hours. You're like,
did you play Divinity or Original Sin?
I did start playing the first one, and it was like, I thought it was okay. I thought the gameplay was good, but the story was lacking.
I see.
And so I could probably pull it up on my Steam account here to see how many hours I put in. But yeah, I know I played through a good bit of it.
I want to play the second one because I hear the second one is really close to what Baldur's Gate 3 is, which, you know, makes sense. It was one of the game they made right before they made Baldur's Gate 3, and there's a lot of similarities, but
right, yeah. Well, I can't find it, and I'm not going to make you edit too much.
No worries.
would be just giving you dead air.
So we kind of got an understanding of what it was like as a little kid. As you got older, you said you started playing more RPGs, and you said you played Final Fantasy VII and tried all the different ones. Were you sticking with the different systems? Like, it's weird. Like, as I mentioned, you'd be either Sega or Nintendo, but then PlayStation kind of comes in and Xbox comes in, and of course PC gaming comes in, and it feels like there was less of a divide. I know early on it was like, oh, are you PS4? Are you PlayStation? Are you Xbox? And now it just feels like whatever, right? Yeah. Like, it does. There's a couple console exclusives, but it doesn't really feel like you have to be one or the other. It just feels like everyone wants to play as much as they can. So where were you? Were you kind of going into all the different directions of consoles and computer games?
So I actually put down a list of like the years of when I think I got the different systems.
Great. Yeah.
So I told you I was going to take, I needed to make some notes, and I'm like, sure. Like, we're going to get into this. So, yeah. So, you know, I had the Sega Master System, then got the NES and the Genesis. A couple years later, we got the Super Nintendo. Within a year or two of the Super Nintendo, we got our first computer. And then I bought, like, it was, so the original PlayStation will always have a little special place for me, because that is the first console or first video gaming thing I bought with my own money.
Sure.
And so I got that sometime. It wasn't the year it came out. I bought it. I got it used a couple years later, 96, 97, like when I was, getting out of junior high or so. I think I was still in junior high when I got it, but right at the end. And so
I remember why you got it. Like, was it for a certain game, or was it just because it was the latest and the greatest?
Yeah, I think it was just the latest and greatest, because I don't think the original Xbox had come out at that point.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I mean, it was, well, it, yeah. And I guess the N64 and the, I don't know if the GameCube had come out at that point. But it was just the type of games that were coming out on it, were of interest to me. So Final Fantasy VII, I don't know if that had been announced as an exclusive for it at that point, but, you know, I talked about how much I love Final Fantasy VI. So like, I'm going for VII. But you had, one of the first games I got with it was, Blood Omen: Legacy of Kain, and you know, I'm an edgy teenager at this point. I want to see all the blood. I want to play as the bad guy. Which still game doesn't hold up, but it was a fun game back in the time. There's that. I wish I actually still have all of my original PlayStation games. I have this big, it's one of those like those CD binders. That thing is almost chocked full of all the different games that I had, but it's in storage back in Idaho. But like I was into pro wrestling, so I got bought a bunch of wrestling games for it. Tried a bunch of different RPGs. The Wild Arms series I thought was blast. The best series that no one ever played is the Suikoden series.
I never heard of that one.
That's a game. Suikoden 1 and 2, I've gone back and replayed a few times. Love both of those games. What are some of the other games I played on that? I had a few racing games I played, but I never played them a whole. I was never really that into them. I'd play the Madden games too. I would get those the Madden and the NCAA games. I'd probably buy like every 3 years or something like that. Be from the smart. From the PlayStation to the PlayStation 2. Because of the backwards compatibility is actually why I got the PlayStation 2, and I got that at launch. And
the mad fever for the PlayStation 2. Do you remember that? Trying to get.
So, I'm still in small town Idaho at this point, and like we don't have any like real toy stores or anything like that. But what we ended up getting in the mid 90s, it was this guy who was a business major at the U of I, and he had this project that he did like create a business. And so he created a video game reselling business, essentially, and started doing that on campus and made so much money at it that he opened up a store in the local mall and dropped out of school.
Wow.
and last time I talked to my mom, that store is still going. The biggest reason they actually kept going is they went from just video games to doing like PC building and components and stuff like that. Okay. And then they became an Apple store. So he has evolved.
Right? Yeah. If you're going to survive, you have to evolve. Yeah, for sure.
But Video Game Headquarters is the name of the store.
That's awesome.
And that's actually, I was able, like, and if they had an open version of the game, you could actually go in and just try it out. They would let you try it out. And that's so I was able to try, you know, try before I buy without having to rent it or anything like that. And a lot of times they had used games in, so you could get it for a decent deal. And they never really tried to fleece you like GameStop always.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's also cool to just support local mom and pop shops, right?
Absolutely. No, I am a big supporter of shopping local whenever possible.
Yeah. So before we move on to like the rest of your gaming history, let's talk a little bit about D&D. Cause I know, as I mentioned in the previous episode and you learning about D&D and kind of, I don't know, people's adventures with it is really fascinating to me because of how cool I'm now realizing it, you know, 30 years later.
Right.
I grew up in a time when it was like evil. Like you weren't allowed. We definitely were not allowed to play D&D because of all the religious reasons. But now I'm just hooked. And like the idea of playing as a kid seems really cool to me. Like that's something I really missed out on. So how did you start doing it? And what has your experience changed? Because the game has evolved a lot in the last 30 years.
Yeah. So I am trying, like, I don't remember exactly what it was, like exactly how me and my brother got into it. Me and him have always been nerds. And we like, it was just something through reading fantasy novels and going to the bookstores and seeing them, seeing all the different role playing games there. And being friends with other nerds, and we just start playing the games together. So I use D&D as like the catch-all term, but one of the actually very first role-playing games I ever played in was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Other Strangeness, which is a role-playing game based off of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's awesome. We're the same age.
Yeah.
TMNT was huge as kids. That cartoon and the movie and combos, all of it was just so massive for boys our age.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And this was based primarily off of the comic books, or, you know, I guess they call them graphic novels now, because it was much more adult oriented.
Yep. Yep. It wasn't a kid's book.
No.
Which is so funny that it got turned into a kid's animated series, but
right. Yeah. Yeah. And that was one where you'd roll up your character and you'd randomly roll what animal you are, and then you pick just how mutated you are, and you get I loved it.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they had all the different expansions with it. They added more animals and everything. But so we played a lot of that. And then just in Dungeons and Dragons, when second edition Advanced Dungeons and Dragons was out at the time, and so I played a little bit of that. But then it was through a friend of a friend, like this guy who's a bit older than us. We were all like 10 to 13 or something like that, or maybe even a little bit younger. And he was this guy who was, I don't know, probably in his 20s, but he just loved running the first edition Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. And I just started playing, and me and my friends all started playing in his games. And it was like, I mean, years and years. We would play, we would meet like once a week, and we'd all just have a good time. I really cut my teeth on a game that was released in the mid 70s something
like that. It probably helped having someone that was as knowledgeable and older, right? Like, it feels that probably was a springboard into understanding. Cause I feel like one of my hurdles was I'd never had that kind of person in my life, someone to like show me the way. You know?
Yeah. 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 And so, Hans was the guy's name. He since passed away. He died young, which was pretty sad. Then my brother is a little bit older than me, and I was mostly hanging out with his friends. I was about 2 years younger, than him and all his friends. And so, I was getting introduced to all that stuff by these other kids who were slightly older too. And it just went from there. I played first edition, second edition, third edition. I took a break when 3.5 came out, but it is essentially third edition, just with some refinements. I never played fourth edition. I heard about it and it didn't sound fun to me. And then when fifth edition came out, I played that a good bit. Really enjoy that one.
That's the current one, right?
Yeah.
And there's a new one, a new version coming out, I think.
Yeah, like they call it D&D 1 or something like that. Okay. I haven't actually played in a little bit in a number of years since I left Boise. So I haven't been following up on it too much. But I don't know, you know, there's so many other games. I played Shadowrun, I played Cyberpunk. In the same system that TMNT uses, they came out with so many different books. It was Palladium Books is the one that did it, and they came out with they had a Heroes Unlimited, which was a superheroes based one. They had Ninjas and Super Spies, which is like like 1970s like spy exploitation and kung fu type of role-playing game. Their most popular one though is Rifts, which is a fantasy science fiction style of game, which was a lot of fun. I played a lot of Rifts growing up. But yeah, it's got it, you know, and as I got older, I didn't have as much free time. So it waned, you know, it's waned a little bit. I did play for a little bit in a D&D group when I moved to Virginia here. But that one, like so many campaigns, like 95% of campaigns, they it didn't last.
Sure. So. Yeah, that's probably a very common tale.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like Maddie's story about having, especially an online pickup game that's been going on for multiple years is that is the exception to the rule.
Totally. Yeah, totally. All right. So were you doing any speed running at this time, or did you learn about speed running or kind of, I don't know, find out? How did you find out about speed running?
I mean, I guess I always knew it was a thing, but yeah. You know, and I had this mindset where it was like, oh, why would I want to watch someone play a game? I'll play it one myself. And right. I never had any interest in learning to speed run. And so I just avoided it. Like I just didn't like it just didn't essentially didn't exist to me until I want to say about 2019 or so. I was working a job in Boise, and I just had a lot of downtime where essentially I was just doing mundane tasks in my office and no one else was around. Mm-hmm. And so I started putting on YouTube videos and, excuse me. So I would start putting on YouTube videos I didn't immediately start watching speed running or anything like that. I would just be whatever was up, kind of whatever the algorithm was telling me I should watch. So I was watching, I'd put YouTube on. I would just kind of watch things as they, you know, as
become recommended. Come up. Yeah,
yeah. 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 I mean, I'm a big fan of, so I mentioned I like pro wrestling. I still watch it to this day. And one of my favorite YouTube series is the old school wrestling reviews. But it's just, it's these three Irish guys that just review old wrestling pay-per-views and storylines.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're also, you know, they're slightly younger than us. They're probably in their 30s. So they do a lot of video game music in their reviews and references, and I think the algorithm picked up on that because it started recommending some different speedruns for me, and so I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't have anything else I'm doing. I'm like, okay, I'll watch someone beat, you know, Ghouls and Ghosts in like an hour or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And I ended up liking it. I don't remember the first one, but I remember the some of the first ones I started liking, that I started enjoying watching were, a runner named PJ, doing just retro speed runs, at GDQ, the different GDQs. And so, so then I started, like searching YouTube for, you know, for these different GDQ events and just trying to find ones that were either games I liked or people that I found I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I started learning about like everything there was about speedruns. This gets to how I learned about A Link to the Past randomizer. I learned about that because as I was scrolling through one of these GDQ playlists, just looking for games I might like. I think at one point I had watched one of the just Link to the Past speedruns.
Mm-hmm.
But I was scrolling through, and it was actually the very first randomizer, the very first Link to the Past randomizer thing I watched was the SMZ3 randomizer with Andy and Ivan.
Mm-hmm.
And this I went and looked up the exact date it popped up in my YouTube view history, October 11th, 2019 at 2:45 p.m. I had turned on the Andy and Ivan SMZ3 co-op randomizer, because I saw this, I'm like SMZ3, what, like randomizer, what's this? I'm like, but like the thumbnail showed Super Metroid, and I enjoy Super Metroid. It's actually a game I've played through multiple times. I'm not any good at it. But so I turn it on, I'm like, all of a sudden, like my mind was blown. Like, this is amazing.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm like, you could go between the games and the items are mixed up.
Sure. It's such a novel concept. That's like, right. So cool.
And I still at this point had no clue that ALTTPR was a thing.
Sure.
Like a standalone thing.
Sure.
So I quickly find out about that. And then it's like I'm watching all these YouTube videos of either SMZ3 or ALTTPR, and I'm still only on YouTube at this point. Mm-hmm. So that's like all I'm doing as I'm working, like doing some like data entry stuff or whatnot. I'm just had these videos playing in the background, and I start watching different races from. Like I make it through all the like a bunch of the GDQs. I watch everything I want to watch off of those, and so then I start searching for, you know, Link to the Past randomizer, and I'm finding Speed Gaming's YouTube channel, and so I start watching these different races. It was pretty quick after finding this that I'm like oh well, I need to try these because you know they every time they do one they tell you what the website to go
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
I download a seed. I don't have it anymore, but I know there were multiple SMZ3 seeds that I never finished. Like I would start playing it and I would try to come back to it later, but I didn't even know what a tracker was at the time.
Sure.
So
Keep track of all of it without a tracker is like impossible. Yeah.
So I'd come back to it because like at the time I'm with my partner and my video gaming time like that I allot for myself was weekends in the morning before she woke up. And so I would get like a few hours to play on Saturday or Sunday, and then I wouldn't touch it again until we got back until the next weekend rolled around, and I didn't remember where I'd been. Mm-hmm. And so I would start a lot of seeds without finishing them.
Yeah.
And finally,
this is not ALTPR. This is the combo.
Yeah. This is SMZ3. I fired that up. I'm pretty sure it was the first one I did. And of course I'm so bad at Super Metroid. I'm still not great at it. Like I can beat a seed now, but it might take me about 6 hours.
Yeah.
It didn't take me too long after that, especially when I realized like how not good I am at SM.
Mm-hmm.
That I just started playing because I'd already been watching just Zelda randomizer too. They're just ALTTPR. And so I started playing those and I still wasn't using a tracker, so you know, it would take me hours and hours to finish a seed.
Sure. Do you start watching Twitch now as well? Is this your introduction to Twitch?
So I start with Twitch. I don't know exactly when I start with Twitch. I should have looked up actually when my account was created. But I did move over to Twitch because I watched all the stuff I wanted. I could find on YouTube or all the stuff I cared to watch because I would see some of them on Speed Gaming would be old. Or I'd watch races that had happened like 2 weeks ago, you know, 2 weeks prior.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, well, what happened to the rest of this series? It's not uploaded to YouTube. And that's when I finally made my way over to Twitch.
Yeah.
And started watching them. And then I would, if a live race happened while I was working, I'd just put it on and just have it playing while I was working, and chime in, chime into Speed Gaming chat.
Right.
Being another newbie.
sure.
talking about pen seeds.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we go fully into this is gonna be a long one, so I hope you're okay with that. Actual like your time with the LTPR, which we're just about there.
Yes,
you mentioned wrestling. You were into wrestling as a kid. You're into wrestling now.
As a
kid, I loved wrestling, so I'm really curious because I haven't really talked to anyone on the show about wrestling. Like, I grew up with Bret the Hitman Hart and the Hart Foundation. That was like my core, the core of who I was. Being a fan of Bret the Hitman Hart, and then like all the stuff that was going on with him and the Rockers and Mr. Perfect and all that kind of stuff. And then I kind of drifted away, and then the Attitude Era happened, and it just totally dragged me in. And I was huge rock fan as a high schooler, and Stone Cold fan as well. And HB, like the whole everything about the Attitude Era to me was like almost perfect. Mm-hmm. I really loved all that stuff. So tell me about your experience with wrestling. And then, of course, video games like NWO versus WCW, and then the, WWE or WWF 2000 or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Like, they had a run of games on there that was just like, you get to create your own character. And, that also got me really hooked as well. But that was pretty, you got to make your own finishing moves. So tell me about as much as you want to about your wrestling days.
Yeah, no, that's that. Of course. So it was one of those things where back in the 80s, I always liked it when it would come. Like, you had the rock and wrestling connection. You had the Saturday morning cartoon. I don't the Hulk Hogan and Friends or whatever. I don't remember what it was called now. But I remember watching those. And anytime wrestling would come on, I always found myself like just so interested in it. But then anytime my mom or dad would walk in the room, they would just be like, why are you watching this junk? And so I never had too many chances to watch it growing, until like in the 80s. It wasn't until the 90s when I got to watch it. And it just like, I never, like, I don't know, I was young. I was so young. I didn't understand like the concept of like TV programming and scheduling. Right. So just like if it happened to be on, I would watch it. So like I'd watch a lot of WCW because that was on TBS on Saturdays.
Yep.
So I'd watch that. I don't remember exactly when it was I started watching. Well, actually, take that back. I started watching Monday Night Raw almost from its inception. So like that was the new generation era.
Yep.
Where it was hindsight, it was trash, but boy, young Angry Pants loved that.
Yeah.
I loved the fact that a pig farmer was going out there wrestling.
Yeah, totally.
guy who who ran a dump truck, Duke Dubsky Jersey.
Right.
Yeah. I just liked watching it. But I'm with you. Once with the Attitude Era hit, it was like we were that right age. I already mentioned I was like an edgelord. I never dressed up like an edgelord, but man mentality, I was an absolute mentally I was an edgelord, and I loved Stone Cold Steve Austin I watched it all through the 90s. I watched the Monday Night Wars with Raw and Nitro.
So good.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it was like, I remember switching back and forth. Like I remember watching Nitro when Tony Schiavone spoils that Mick Foley is going to win the title with the, I'll put butts in seats. And I was one of the people that switched over because I put my butt in the seat.
That's hilarious.
But then, then I turned 18 in at the end of 1999, graduated high school, got a job. So all of a sudden I'm not able to watch wrestling anymore. So it kind of just goes to the wayside because I just don't have the time to do it. There's no, there's no streaming services. There's no like DVR unless you're right. You have lots of money.
Yeah.
That just kind of, and I didn't want to take the time to record it on VHS. Like I couldn't be bothered with that.
Too much work, man. It was way too much work.
Yeah, yeah. Like getting your VCR and then programming it and And of course, then with Raw, it always in Nitro, they all, well, and you couldn't record them both at the same time, anyways.
Right.
So then for a lot of years, I actually kind of went away from it. I would pick it up again, like when CM Punk, had his, like when he actually first started. I kind of started watching again. I think I'd started going to college at that point. But then it just, shifts change at work and I, or school got busy. And so then I just stopped watching, but I do remember watching the Summer of Punk with the pipe bomb, the original pipe bomb, also turns out to be, he's a huge douche too.
So, right.
And then I really picked up again, back when NXT wasn't brand new, but when WWE was doing their NXT stuff and Triple H was the one doing all the booking and storylines for it. I want to say from about 2016 or so, had a good like three or four year run. And I was really into that. I would watch. That was the main one I watched, and I would watch WWE a little bit, like the Raw and the SmackDown stuff. Then the storylines kind of lost me. I kept up with NXT for quite a while, until the storylines just kind of lost me and I stopped, and I moved over to AEW. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching AEW pretty regularly for, pretty much since I've been over here, I want to say.
Okay.
I dip my toes into watching New Japan, which is a lot of fun. But it's, I don't know. I enjoy it, but you have to pay a specific subscription just for that. And I just didn't feel like doing that anymore.
So you've kind of on and off kind of gone back into your wrestling days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And to tie it in with the video games, because you did ask about that. I loved the old 16-bit ones. Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. I don't remember which one was the newer of the two, but like where you're just like, you know, it was the new generation era stuff. Mm-hmm. But I just loved playing those games and getting to do their finishing moves in that kind of 2D isometric style look. I did get some that were for the PlayStation to PlayStation 2, like Raw's War. From what I remember reading, the best ones came out on like the N64 and the GameCube.
Those were my favorite for sure. Yeah,
and I never had those systems, so spoiler alert, A Link to the Past is basically the only Zelda game I've ever played.
Oh, okay. So, all right,
I maybe I should have led with that.
Yeah. So was it because you didn't have the Nintendo systems that you just weren't that interested in Zelda, or were you, you know, as an RPG fan, more interested in the other RPGs that were out there?
I liked them, but yeah, I just didn't have the systems. I couldn't afford the systems, and I looked at it from a quantity of games perspective.
Sure.
There were so many more games on the PlayStation, or I did get an Xbox 360 at one point. Just so many more games than what was coming out on the Nintendo systems. So I have played the original Zelda, but I've never owned it. And so never beaten it. I have played Zelda 2, never owned it and never beat it, which I think a lot of people would say they've never beat it. I did play Ocarina of Time. I actually borrowed a friend's N64 for like a week and I played it and I had fun with it. I did get stuck on the water temple. I couldn't find the iron boots, I think is what it was. And he had asked for it back, so I didn't have a chance to beat that one. Also overrated game, not the best game ever. I will die on that hill. And then I played never played like Majora's Mask or any of the handheld ones. I Death did
the
play
Wild or Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah. Nope, never played either of those. I did play Twilight Princess a little bit. I had an ex. She got a Wii and I bought that game so I could play it because I'm like, oh well, we have this now. and I never ended up beating it. I actually got kind of bored with it, is what happened. And then we broke up and she took her Wii with her. And I just told her to take the game because I'm not buying a Wii. So.
All right. So after all of that, we're over an hour in, and now let's talk a little bit about your experience with Link to the Past. All right. So you discovered it through SMZ3.
Yes.
You decided to join up with the Mentor Tournament. Is that kind of where you kind of make a group of friends or get more interested in the game?
Yeah. So I had been playing it casually from 2019 on.
Okay.
But it had only been casually. I never had ever streamed anything on Twitch before. I never had a racetime.gg account. Never did anything on the ladder. I would watch broadcasts and I would play seeds casually. I just roll like an open or a standard, and just play it casually. And I want to say it was Mentor Tournament 2020. No, 2020. It was Mentor Tournament 2021. I heard it was happening, but I was, you know, it was the pandemic, but I was busy applying for jobs. So I just got my master's degree that December of 2020. And so I'm just frantically applying for jobs so I can get something that I like better that pays me what I'm worth and et cetera, et cetera. And so I didn't have the time to enter into the tournament there. But so I'd known about it. I was watching more of the live races. Actually, it was main tournament 2020 that I was really, really watching a lot of the live races, because 2020 is the one Dante won. Is that right?
Sure. They're all blur to me.
Right. Yeah. Whichever one it was that Dante ended up winning was the one where that was when I really transitioned to like, oh, this is actually really exciting to watch live.
Mm.
And I told my partner at the time, it was the finals between him and Gamachu. I'm like, I'm going to watch this because I've watched all these others and I want to see this live because it's game three. And I want to know how it ends because I put in so much time watching it. And for so sure. she rolled her eyes and said, fine. That's what got me into watching it live. I still was only watching the broadcast races. I wasn't going to like people's individual streams or anything like that in interacting with people at all. So that changes when I finally move over to Virginia and I'm over here alone. COVID's going on. I like I mentioned earlier, I don't want to go. I don't want to go out because I don't want to get sick because I have nobody to help. Like I don't know anyone, so I don't have like if I were to get COVID, like
you're like, on your own.
How am I getting groceries? Like how am I getting medicine?
Yeah.
Like I don't have any sick leave. How am I paying rent at that point?
Right.
So I'm just stuck inside, and that's when I start hanging out in various people's streams. And it because I had watched Dante's run through the finals, and it turns out we're in the same time zone, so he's he's streaming at times where I'm like done with work and sitting down to watch or whatever. And so I end up actually hanging out in his stream. And of course he's just doing dance games stuff. And I'm like, what's this, you know, what is it? Oh God, I can't remember the name of the dance thing that he does. The Step Mania. What's the Step Mania thing? Like, I know this guy like plays rando, but what's this? And then of course I find out he's one of the best, dance rhythm game players around.
Right.
But then I'm just there and because I don't have anyone else to talk to, I start interacting with people and you know, I guess making myself part of the community. I hang out in Radical Sniper's channel a bit. And I don't remember the others who I watch, but it was really between Dante and Jesse just hanging out in their streams that they both really encouraged me to sign up for the Mentor Tournament in 2021.
Nice.
And so sign up for that. And that would, oh man, that like, I've been on record saying this before that the best event that this community does is the Mentor Tournament. Speaking as someone who's been on the mentee side and now the mentor side, it is so much fun to do. It's such a good thing for the community. And the most fun though is League. I have so much fun with League. So I get into the Mentor Tournament. And of course I'm sitting here like, I've beaten this game in like 4 hours. I'm going to be great. Like I've been timing myself though. So
right.
Then I time myself and I'm like, oh, this is going to go poorly.
Sure. Yeah. But you have a good time, right? Like
I
making friends and
yes. Yeah.
Start bringing your times down and.
Yep. Yeah. So I want to say I started like, I, you know, man, these are things I should have looked up because I have access to them, but I totally spaced it. I was well over 2 hours on both of the like test seeds that they do to really place people. Mm-hmm. I want to say the practice I would put in the lead up to the Mentor Tournament, I was starting to get under 2 hours. But then really working with my mentors. So I got Maniacal and Ninjembro were both mentored me quite a bit. And I've maintained a friendship with them to this day. Jesse was one of my mentors. And then the last mentor I had was John Snow. And that's really when I got it because John Vextifer and Aaron Snerd have the Rando Playhouse, which I'm now the fourth guest in a row that is a member of the Rando Playhouse.
Nice.
I noticed that because you had Moogle did Zaf 4 weeks ago, then you had Flip Heel who's a prominent member, Norse Maddie is hanging out there too. So
nice.
But yeah, getting to know those guys and just all the people. So they created that Discord and invited all of them had mentored in my year were there. And so there's a whole bunch of us from the 2021 class. That hang out there and we'll still chat and mm-hmm. discuss strategies and advice or is it 2022? No, 2022. That was 2022 was the year I did the Mentor Tournament. I getting my years all wrong.
It all becomes a blur, man. Yes. Like I've been here since 2018. It's like what the heck? How did that happen? Where's the time though?
Right.
You don't seem like the type of guy that is someone that struggles making friends or like struggles fitting into the group. Like you listen to the show. I talked a little bit about my struggles at SGL, right? Like trying mm-hmm. to fit in and wanting to, you know, like have that mentality of like, who wants to hang out with me? It's just such a Eeyore sort of mentality that I've always kind of had. You don't seem like that because when I met you at SGL, you know, you're kind of like just right out and up front. Is that safe to say? It feels like you're not afraid or not. It's not difficult to make friends with you.
So I, yes and no. Okay. So this past SGL was my second time being there. But I felt a lot of the same stuff you felt my first year. Mm. And if it wasn't for, you know, like I had known Dante, in the lead up to that. And he's actually the one that convinced me to go and to play in it. But it was people like Homemade Beer, reaching out to me my first year, at the event and being like, hey, we're going to go to Texas Day Brazil. I wouldn't have even asked to go if I hadn't been invited. I would have just found food on my own.
sure.
Which, you know, I have the benefit that I live close enough that I drive, so I could just drive anywhere. But there was that, So Homemade Beer, that's where I actually got to know, Norsk Maddie. I got to know Norsk Maddie cause we were in the same group that first year, which was, it was me, Norsk Maddie, Homemade Beer, Flip Heel, and Andy. I did not win a race that year.
for sure. Understandable.
And then actually I was in the same group with Norsk Maddie this most recent year, which was Telethar, Gem, Norsk Maddie, Worf Jig, me, and Jerock 13. Wow. So that was another brutal group.
Yeah, that's tough.
I think it was my first year. It was one of those things, and there was a night or two where it's just like, well, I guess I'm gonna go back to my room early and just call it, and I'll get up and I also would say that year did help because John Snow and Aaron Snerd were there, and those two guys are extremely gregarious. Mm. and have no problem being like, hey, we're gonna do this, or hey, do you care if we come along with you? So I would say for me, if I feel confident in a situation, I don't have a problem with it, which I guess but because it was my second year, and I had gotten to know so many people, it kind of is a similar way to what Maddie was saying last week, that you go in knowing more people, so you already have those people to talk to, and then it just becomes a little easier to talk with new people. So I guess to pull the curtain back a little bit from the way you do the show is the lunch where you had asked me to be on the show there. That was one where I was feeling like I was hanging around, and it was most of the people who were going to that lunch I didn't know. I knew Dante. I knew of you, but you and I hadn't really talked at that point. So many of the others I hadn't, like Wally, I think Wally was there. I knew Thelane, because Thelane had been there the year before. And actually me and him, we never really talked the first year that I went. And we ended up connecting on Corey's stream, I think it was. It might have been Aerie's stream, where I just mentioned in the chat where I said something like, oh, I'm sorry I didn't get the chance to like really introduce myself and talk to you. And he's like, yeah, you know, I feel the same way. So then like we saw each other this past one, and we're just like, we gave each other a big hug, and we got to talking. That's a long way to say that with that lunch though, I was there with my girlfriend, and we didn't have any plans, and so I'm like, hey, but we're both hungry, so I think I had asked, I don't remember who it was, but it was I think it was Telethar. I think it was Telethar, because I was in the same group as him. So I'd already interacted with him a little bit. I'm like, hey, do you care if we come with you? And he said, not a problem. But like, if it hadn't been Telethar that had been standing right there, I don't know if I would have asked. And,
right.
And then maybe I'm not on the show right now.
No, you were going to be on the show regardless of whether we even chatted at SGL or not. But yeah, I had you in the plans.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about League, and then we'll wrap it up with your. I'm curious about how you handle tilt and everything, but you know, you played League the last two seasons on the same team. Was it Smells Like a Troll Seed? I remember that last year when you guys had your first logo reveal.
Yes,
I immediately fell in love with, like, I need to find out who these guys are, because that logo, that team logo, is so awesome.
Yeah,
the Nevermind parody cover was great.
Yes,
and then you guys again followed it up again this year with another Nirvana cover. So,
yep, yeah, yeah. This one this year was I believe their anthology cover.
Yeah,
and also so my teammates are Hawk 59 and Niobium Narwhal, and Narwhal is the artist. I think Hawk is the one who kind of phrases like Narwhal's the one with the talent. I'm the idea man, and Hawk's our hype man.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, because we were kicking around team name ideas, and it actually goes back to Lucian. Was talking in I don't remember which Discord it was, but it was one of the Discords. He was talking about, like, how he loves band parody names.
Yeah.
Because you have, like, Link Floyd is one of them, and so we're all just coming up with these different ones, and me being from the Northwest, big fan of Nirvana, you know, with the AJ, big fan of Nirvana, I'm like, I just came up with Smells Like Troll Seed. Loved it because it has the same acronym. And so we decided to go with that name. We actually just kind of formed by happenstance. I wasn't even sure if I was going to play in League. I just submitted my name to the League, like, free agent list. Mm-hmm. And Hawk and Narwhal had already agreed that they were going to be a team, and they knew me because we were all in the Rando Playhouse, and they just said, hey, you want to be on a team? And I'm like, sure, let's do this.
Okay.
And so it was a little just kind of like happenstance forming, but now they're two of my best friends.
Yeah, that's so, like, I love that, man. I love that. I love hearing that.
Yeah. So came up with the team name, and then we decided on the logo. I remember coming up with the idea of why don't we have, like, a nature link floating in water reaching for a rupee.
It's so good. It is so good. I'm a really big fan. So all three of you, newer to the community at this point, haven't raced a lot. Go 2-12. Tell me about that first experience. You know, wins aren't everything. It's mostly about having fun, as I talked about on the show. How was that first league season?
I had a decent bit of fun with it. It wasn't a great showing, but we went in knowing it was going to be tough. Like, we had a pretty rough group that first year. And we went into it. It's like we all agreed, like, we knew, you know, especially based on, like, where we had placed in the mentor tournament. I was in the Master Sword bracket. I think Narwhal was in the Master Sword bracket, and Hawk was in the Fighter Sword bracket. So we had our expectations. Like, we had tempered our expectations. Like, we're gonna try, you know, we're gonna try our best every single time. And if it happens, you know, if we win, this is great. If we lose, we want to try to find way, like, what constructive thing can we pull out of this?
Yeah.
It didn't go great. But I did beat Lumaga. So,
all right.
So I do have that going for me. No. I think we didn't feel bad about it. I don't know. Everything's better with your friends, sure. Winning and losing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, were we extremely pleased with going to, you know, 2-12? No, but it is what it is, and it also, it's just a game too.
Sure. You must have had enough fun to come back, because you guys came back this year and had a pretty big improvement going 500.
Yes. Yeah. We were in contention for playoffs if we had won out the last week, but that was a tall order against Meme Item. But yeah, no, this year was great. So the first year, the two wins we had were actually two solo games that I had played. And so I was really, really excited to see both of my other teammates not only pull out solo wins, but we also pulled out team wins all together. I believe each of us got had at least one solo win and at least one team win. And so that was a really great step up for us. The fact that going into the last week, we had playoffs to play for, or potentially, like, we would have needed some stuff to go our way, but it was looking really good if we had been able to win out against Meme Item. But yeah, it's just so much fun playing with friends. Like, and like I said, like I just, everything's better with friends.
it really yeah. is.
We're actually going to be playing in the multi-world tournament too. I don't know when Hawk and Narwhal are playing the first week. We did change our name slightly because we're not in the league. So we went with a Foo Fighters pun. We're Medicine of Magic at Midnight.
Nice. I love it. I just love that people are coming together, playing this game and making it like real friends out of it. You know what I mean? Like, That's so cool, and that brings me a lot of joy. All right, we've gone super long. Thanks so much for taking the time to do this,
Dude.
But we can't end without talking about Tilt, and your name is Mr. Angry Pants. So how do you handle Tilt, whether it's in the middle of a loss or middle of a seed or at the end of a race? What's your approach, and do you feel like you handle Tilt well?
So I've been thinking, because I know you asked this question, so I've been putting a lot of thought into it. I don't really let this game get to me that much. I temper myself, because I'm not devoting a whole lot of time to getting better at. I'm not running NMG or vanilla preset to work on my execution. I don't put in much time working bosses or whatnot. So if I lose, I lose. That's just part of the game. I don't even play that much. Like, to be honest, I usually show up for tournaments. I don't really have an interest in doing ladder. But I'm sorry. I'm feeling like getting a little bit away from the question. So part of it for me though is I know that if I feel if I should be better at something than what I'm doing, that's when I get really frustrated.
I see.
And so I've intentionally kept myself from devoting too much time to the game, because I want it to be fun. I don't want the game. Because I know I can get that way. About it, especially when it's things that if I mess up on something and it's my fault, that's when I get really upset with myself. We didn't even touch into it, but I do woodworking, and that's so many people have said, like, you know, I'm not very angry for someone that calls himself Mr. Angry Pants.
Right.
Well, like, Don't catch me in the wood shop when I make a mistake.
Because then your pants are really angry.
Yes, it will. It will be a torrent of four-letter words.
Yeah,
because that's one of those, like with woodworking, that is one of those things where if you make a mistake, it is absolutely your fault.
Yeah. So you have a healthy relationship with the game then, where it's it is for fun. Mm-hmm. And you're able to keep it that way. That's smart.
Yeah. I've intentionally done that, intentionally kept myself from putting too much time into it because I know what it can happen with it. Mm-hmm. Cause like I did earn. So I say I call myself Mr. Eggman. I actually was dubbed that name back in the early 2000s. when I was playing the original Planet Side games. So, I see. And I did earn it. So. I see.
That's good.
So that's, I think my advice for anyone who's having trouble with Tilt is evaluate what you'd like out of the game. Like if you want it to be competitive,
I understand there's a randomness to it, right? Like
absolutely. Yeah. If you get mad because the game is random, you might want to reevaluate why you're playing the game because it's kind of in the name.
Yeah. Totally.
I think the thing I tell people is lose with grace and win with humility.
That goes beyond just Link to the Past for sure.
Yeah. It's come up in numerous times how it's much easier when you're in person to not get angry with who you're playing and I get that because it's a human in front of you, it's not a computer screen, right. I'm stumbling over my words.
I got you. We got you. Yeah. We know what you're saying.
Yeah. So
it's good that you have got a good handle on especially specifically the game, and even an awareness, right? Like, you know, like where things will tilt you and how to handle them. And,
And it's not to say I don't get nerves or I don't get frustrated at the game, but, sure. But yeah, I try to keep it in perspective that it's a game. I'm here to have fun. I believe the whoever I'm playing is here to also have fun. I always try to keep that in mind. I think maybe the one argument in favor of a 10-minute delay when you're being restreamed is that you have 10 minutes to cool down before you go get interviewed. Other than that, I don't like the 10-minute delay.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. All right, dude. Thanks so much for doing this. Sorry that we went so long and it took all your time, but
no, it's. I mean, man, it's only 7:30 here. Like, I got plenty of time to do exciting things like laundry.
Thanks again for doing the show, man. I really appreciate it. It was really good just to sit and chat with you.
Yeah, I'm honored. I'm honored to be asked to come on. I know you had said a couple weeks ago you were aiming to have people who maybe hadn't won anything big yet, and I heard that. And I'm like, all right, my time to shine. Let's go.
Again, I want to thank Mr. Angry Pants for coming on the show. Feels like someone I'm going to have come back just so we can keep chatting. Really did enjoy chatting with him. I hope you enjoyed that as well. Next week, we have 5 guests because I'm going to release the music draft as a main episode instead of a bonus episode. So if you've been listening to the show, you know that I've done a few different draft episodes where we've drafted like the Legend of Zelda series games, Mario series games. Well, next week we're going to be drafting Legend of Zelda songs. We're doing all music. I have 5 people on. They each submitted 15 tracks, enter into the pool, and then they drafted from that pool of songs. It was so much fun. So much fun. It's a really, really good episode. Really proud of it. Really excited about the group that I had on. And it's going to be coming to you next week. So check that out. Really excited about that. That's going to do it, though. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. 216pod.com has all the links you need. As a link to the Discord, that's where you want to be, especially with all the sports talk going on, with the 216 tournament going on. Lots of stuff to chat about and some excellent people to chat with. So building up a pretty cool little community here at 216, and you should join. It's a lot of fun. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks for listening. See you next week.